Renee Powell joins us now. Renee, thanks for being a part of the show. How are you?
Well, thanks for having me on, John.
I'm thrilled. I was very excited when Mallory told me that you were available. Our friend Mallory Crossland from the PGA of America set all this up. First and foremost, your father's going into the PGA Professionals Hall of Fame. What does that mean to you and your family?
Wow, you know, that is such a huge honor, and we're absolutely thrilled. You know, my dad has always loved the PGA. He always wanted to be a member. Early on, you know, things were a little bit different. He wasn't able to be. But for him now to be going into the PGA Hall of Fame and for his name to always be there, you know, and on the wall there, it's just amazing. I just wish he could physically be here to stand up on that stage to accept. But I certainly know he will be there. Watching down on all of us, making sure we say the right things, I'm sure.
Well, and to explain in a nutshell who your father was and what he means to the game, he was the first African-American to design, build, own, and operate a golf course in the United States.
Yes, he was.
That's a pretty astounding accomplishment when you put it in those terms. What are your earliest memories of that part of his life?
Well, you know, I mean, I remember when I was just he put a golf club in my hand actually when I was 3 years old. I can remember standing out there, you know, hitting golf balls, and there's a little stream that runs through the golf course, and I can remember standing out there swinging, hitting golf balls, trying to get them to the stream, and that's when the course was 9 holes. And but actually, Daddy built this course, began building it when he was 28 years old, so he was quite young, and he was the architect, the builder, the superintendent, the golf professional, the owner, the operator. He was just about a one-man crew. And he built a golf course so that everybody would have the opportunity to participate in the game that he absolutely loved. And that was shortly after he came back from World War II. So golf is what I have known my entire life. And I don't remember too many days without being around golf or looking at a golf club.
Did you know early on that you wanted to? I mean, you played the LPGA Tour for more than a decade. You were out there for a while. Did you know from an early age this is what I want to do?
No, you know, I didn't. I mean, golf was the golf course was sort of the, you know, our backyard, our front yard. You know, I mean, I just grew up in it. It was sort of like you learn to walk and talk, you learn to play golf. So it was something that was just sort of a second nature and natural, you know, to me to be around. And it really wasn't until my parents took me to a golf tournament in the late 50s. And that was an LPGA tournament. They were playing in a town not far from us, Alliance, Ohio. That was the first time I ever knew that such things as an LPGA existed for women professional golfers. So I was really taken back by that. I remember one of the people that I met and who has over the years become a very dear friend was Marilyn Smith, one of the founding members of the LPGA. So I was just fascinated by the fact of here are these women, you know, going around the golf course, they're professionals, and I didn't know anything about that until it was actually when I was 12 years old.
Yeah, I mean, come to think of it, I mean, it's not like you flipped it on and it was on television every week like it is now. You know,
right.
I mean, you had to go and see it. Were you aware at that point in time, were you conscious of the fact that what your father had accomplished and was accomplishing was really breaking new ground for not only African-American golfers, but African-Americans in general?
Oh, heavens no. You know, I mean, my parents were I guess we were sort of sheltered, you know, from a lot of the things and in a sense. Once I got out and started playing tournaments, I ran into different prejudices and racism, but my parents were always there to fight those little battles for me. So not until much, much later, I mean, and I think I'm still learning more and more about the impact that my that my dad and my mom had on the world of golf and just and on our American society, things that that they did, you know, and my dad and Billy in his course. I mean, that he made such an impact that one person, you know, one man made this kind of impact. So it really does show you, you know, the power of one. And if you can, if one person can do it, then another person can do it. And, you know, so I think it's just sort of a powerful thing. And it's something that I continue to learn on a daily basis.
Yeah. I love one of your father's quotes about the golf course. He says, it's where the only color that matters is the color of the greens.
That's right.
And he's exactly right. When the greens aren't good, it doesn't matter who you are. You're going to complain about them. And when they're perfect, you're going to rave about them.
That's right. So his thing, he grew up in a small town just 10 miles down the road where their family was the only family of color in that town. And it still remains the same today. But he discovered golf when he was 9 and fell in love with it then. And he has just always felt that this is what a clean, wholesome sport. It's something that it shouldn't have any barriers for people to play. And so, you know, his thing was always really about creating opportunities for all people.
You yourself have been honored by some pretty prestigious organizations as well. The Honorary Doctor of Laws from the University of St. Andrews is very cool. Futures Tour Trainer Award, First Lady of Golf Award. I mean, these are some pretty heady groups that have recognized you as an individual. How humbling is that for you?
Well, you know, it's pretty neat. But you know, it would not have been possible had it not been for my parents and what they've done, getting us involved in the sport of golf. I never would have played the game of golf had it not been for my dad, probably. But going over it, and what was really, really cool was that my dad was in the European theater during World War II in Scotland and England, but never quite made it up to St. Andrews. Right. He'd been to Edinburgh and some other areas up there, but in 2008, I became the first and the only female golfer and to receive an honorary doctorate from the University of St. Andrews, and my dad went with me. And at that time, he was able to go to St. Andrews, put on the 9th green and put on the 18th green. So it was so, so special for the two of us to be standing on the grounds of the old course. And he had not been there since World War II. But if it weren't for, you know, my family who made so many sacrifices so that I could learn the game, be on the tour. My dad taught me the game, but to give me the opportunity to go out there to play the game of golf on the level that I did, and to be able to travel the world to do that. You know, so all the awards that I have received, I feel that they are all really family awards, because if not for my family, then none of it would have been possible for me.
That is so well said. Your father was also very involved with veterans who came back, whether it was World War II or Vietnam. He was a big part in introducing some veterans to the game of golf. Talk about that passion project for him.
Well, you know, his brother who was a little bit older than my dad, they started playing golf and caddy at the same time. My uncle retired from the military, and during the Vietnam War, I actually did a USO tour to Vietnam, and I think a lot of it was stemmed from the fact, and I really, it meant a lot for me to go over, because I had talked so much to my dad about World War II and the things that mean a lot to our veterans. And so when I went over to Vietnam and came back, it was actually, there was another lady professional, Mary Lou Crocker, and myself that went. And last year, three of the soldiers who actually saw us during that USO tour on a Firebase came to meet us in person here at Clearview 41 years later to personally thank us for going to Vietnam. They said at the time when many of our soldiers thought that the world had forgotten about them. But that and myself getting involved in starting a program called Clearview Hope, helping our patriots everywhere for women veterans, the program that is solely for women veterans at no cost to them, a golf program, and it's currently the only golf program of its kind in the entire country. And I was sort of urged and talked into it by a couple friends of mine at the PGA of America, reminding me that I had gone to Vietnam and that my dad was a veteran. And so those things sort of, you know, sort of weigh heavily on me. And I decided that I would start this program, and in May it will have completed 2 years. We started off with three women veterans. Now we have over 50 on our roster, and I'm finding out so much about our women veterans. And you know, there are a lot of people that are dealing with PTSD. We have a Purple Heart recipient in our group. We have a couple of women that are blind in our group. We have women from the from Afghanistan all the way back to the Vietnam era. And golf has meant so much to them. They never thought they would ever play golf, but it has done a lot of things from a recreational standpoint and from a very therapeutic standpoint, especially with those that are dealing with PTSD and traumatic brain injuries. But all of that because of because of my dad, and that has sort of it's been like another part of my life, I guess. And another stage in my life of which I find to be able to give back to veterans who have kept us all very safe and free, able to do the things that we're able to do in our country.
It's a fabulous story. Our guest is Renee Powell. She is the daughter of Bill Powell, who will be inducted into the PGA Professionals Hall of Fame. Renee, where can people get more information on this particular project?
Well, actually, if they can sort of probably go on the internet and type in Clearview or click on Clearview Hope, H-O-P-E, and they actually there are two videos. One that was done earlier in the spring, and it aired on CBS in April, and then another one aired on Veterans Day, and it was done by Golf Channel. So, and then also on our website, and I'll be updating our webpage a little bit more, so you'll be able to find a lot of things there. But also, if you look on, if people go to Clearview Hope and, you know, and click on that, they will learn a lot about our Women Veterans Program that we're doing here at Clearview. And like I say, it's growing. And our hope, and the hope of me and our women veterans, is that programs such as this can really spread throughout our entire country. And it's all just sort of create a greater awareness so that women, other places around the country, can do some programs such as this to help our women veterans. Well, there's a lot of programs out there for male veterans, but the women have told me that there's nothing for women veterans. So that's why I'm so glad to be a part of this. And the women are teaching me every day, and I am just so honored to be a part of their program that I'm doing.
Well, you're more than just a part of it. There is a gentleman on the phone line right now whose name is Dietrich. He's in Florida, and he wants to say hello to you. He's part of the First Tee program down there.
Oh, I know Dietrich. Yeah.
There you are. Dietrich, are you with us?
I am. Hi, Renee. How are you?
Hey, Dietrich. Fine. I think I'm probably going to be seeing you towards the end of the month.
Awesome. Well, hey, John, I just wanted to let you know that, you know, Renee and Mr. Power, Dr. P, as we love to call him, they're really American heroes. I would really encourage people to learn more about Dr. Powell, what he did as an American back so long ago when there wasn't many opportunities for African Americans to build that golf course, to operate it and to run it and to be what he did over the course of time was absolutely amazing. And I can tell you, as an African American man in the game of golf, and I came in 15 years ago in the industry, I didn't have very many people who looked like me, and so Renee took me under her wing, and Mr. Powell took me under his wing. I get kind of emotional thinking about it, but they were such a wonderful family, and the impact that they had on my life and many of the kids of the First Tee. Mr. Powell inspired one of our national trustees to donate $1 million to have annual scholarships for kids to come to academies to learn about life skills and golf. And Mr. Powell had a direct impact on one of our trustees and many, many kids throughout America. And one of the last things he would always say when he would speak to the kids is everyone has to contribute. You're upon this earth to give something, not to take away. So Mr. Powell has impacted many, many kids as well as the first tee. So I just want to say thank you, and we love you for all that you've done for the game of golf.
Dietrich, I'm sorry to interrupt. I don't want Dietrich to hang up because I want to know which first tee program he's affiliated with and how they're doing down there.
I work for the home office. I'm in San Augustine at the World Golf Village, and so I get a chance to work with all of our chapters around the country.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you guys are doing an incredible job. Renee, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, I haven't talked to Dietrich for a while, so it was great to hear his voice and talk to him.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Dietrich, keep up the good work.
I appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Renee, what does it mean to you when you hear something like that?
Well, you know, anytime you you don't look to try to, you know, have people say great things or, you know, various things about you, but I think the good thing is when you know that you have or are making impact in the lives of others, and I certainly know that my dad, over the years, you know, we have so many young people that were young when they were around here, and they're older now. They come back and they say how much my dad and my mom meant to them and the lessons that they taught them. Because he wasn't easy. he was rather strict, but he taught life lessons, and he taught life lessons so that people and kids were able to get through and weave their way through life in a positive manner. So when people come on and say such things as that, I mean, it really does make you feel good that you touched, you know, someone's life.
Now, obviously the ceremony is coming up next month. Did you get a phone call? How did you find out that your father was going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame?
I did. One Saturday afternoon, I received a phone call from President Ted Bishop of the PGA of America to inform me that my dad would be inducted into the PGA Hall of Fame on March the 12th. So that was the first that I knew about it.
And when you look at the class, we had Alan Ranowski on a little while ago, who's just maybe the nicest guy I've ever met.
Wonderful.
And I had Bob Toski on, who I've known for 20 years, last week, and they only made one Bob Toski.
I've known him since I was like 18 years old. I first met him when I was a teenager.
Did he ever give you lessons?
Oh, my gosh. You know, he was out there watching me hit golf balls. I remember that. I was down in Miami, actually, and that's when I first met him.
Yeah, he is something else, and you're taller than he is.
You're right, and I'm not real tall.
Yeah, the Mighty Mouse, When you look at that class, though, I mean that is a very, very cool group of people to be enshrined with.
It is a very, very cool group of people. I mean, and you know, several of them I know, and others I know of, but just by, you know, looking over that the names that are there, and I'm just, my dad would have felt so good and so proud. And then I said, too, as I was looking through other names over the years, and, you know, the names of people during his era that he's going, that are in that same Hall of Fame that he's going into, the people like Byron Nelson and Gene Sarazen and Ben Hogan, you know, and Walter Hagen, and of course, person not in his era but from our home state, Jack Nicklaus. So I'm, you know, it's so incredible, and so he's going to be a permanent fixture in the PGA Professional Golf Hall of Fame, and I just it's just amazing. So I'm looking forward to seeing our friends there on March the 12th, and watching some of those some of the people that I know and all the greats go into that hall and being inducted. The same class of my dad.
Yeah, it's a great story. I haven't asked you, and maybe it's not an important question, but what type of a player was your dad? It seems like he worked so hard that he probably didn't get to play all that much.
Well, you know, coming up as a youngster, my dad and his older brother started the very first golf team that Minerva High School ever had. That's the town they were from. And my dad played, he was the coach, he was the captain, he was the number one player. And so I looked at all these different articles from papers that my grandmother had kept about the kind of golfer that my dad was. My dad was an excellent golfer. And had he had the opportunity to play on the tour, you know, back in the days, my dad would, he had such a, ability and such perseverance, and he was so positive that he would have been very, very successful out there, because everything that he did at a high rate, and he just gave his all. I mean, he and his older brother also started the very first golf team that Wilberforce University ever had, and the first match played between a black college and a white college in these United States was played in 1937 between Wilberforce and Ohio Northern, and my dad was part of that team, and they won their matches.
Did they? I knew that tidbit of history, but that little bit was left out of the information that I have.
No, they won both. They played two matches that year against Ohio Northern, and they won them both.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Renee, if people are looking for you, if they want to help with the Clearview Hope, or they want to find you, what's the best way to go about it? Clearview Hope?
Well, yeah, you know what, you can go to our webpage, which is clearview-gc.com or hyphen, whichever people call it. We also, there are a couple of really important things about Clearview that have happened in the early 2000s. One, it was placed on the National Register of Historic Places by the U.S. Department of the Interior in 2001. And also that it is now, we're now a foundation, it's the Clearview Legacy Foundation for Education, Preservation, and Turfgrass Research. It's a 501c3 charitable foundation. My brother is really brilliant when it comes to turf grass and things of that nature. He's, of course, superintendent here. And then as some of the programs that we do under our, there are missions of our education are like our women's program, our Clearview Hope program. I do a program for people with Alzheimer's and dementia. And we do some youth programs here. But I think the best way to find us is we're also on Facebook, with the Clearview Legacy Foundation is on Facebook. And as I say, clearview-gc.com is our webpage. And the phone number here, if anybody wants to contact me, is 330-488-0404. And what's really funny, a lot of times people will call and I'll pick up the phone, and they're sort of surprised that I've answered the phone, and I said, well, it was ringing, so I'm going to answer it.
Renee, you are delightful. With your permission, I will post this entire conversation on my website.
Fantastic.
I would love to help in any way that I can possibly help, so stay in touch. If you have an event coming up, if you have anything going on, feel free to get in touch and to come back on the air and let us know how things are going.
Oh, John, that's great. I really, really enjoyed talking to you, and looking forward, as I said, to next month. It's March 12th. It's just a month away.
Right.
Time goes by so fast.
It does. It does. Do you have the speech ready?
Yeah, you know, I think I have a pretty clear head of everything that I want to say.
Really?
I do. And, actually, what happened, as soon as I heard from President Bishop that next day, I started putting everything together, yeah, because it just means so much to my brother and to myself, and the fact that this is happening to our dad.
It's fantastic. Somebody should write a book about his life.
I'm in the process of doing that.
Are you really?
Well, I am.
Well, certainly when that comes out. We definitely want to talk to you. It's been a delight. It really has, Renee.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.